This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, it is Friday night, SB Nation Radio, the next generation of sports radio, and the Big E Sports Show. Hello, folks. Alyssa Walker-Campbell, I'm going to be guiding you over the next 2 hours. We have got some compelling guests that will be joining us. Lots to get into as we get you ready for the college football playoff. Postseason play is here. Many different ways to connect with us tonight. You can send a tweet out at eradiosportsinfo@eradiosports.com and podcastarena.com. Delighted to have back with us, hanging out with the Big E in studio, and that is my dear friend, Shay Raftus, the executive producer of the Big E Sports Show. Hello, Shay.
Hey, Big E. How are you doing today?
Okay, so I want to get your pulse on how you're feeling, perhaps a bit melancholy that your favorite coach, Urban Meyer, has decided to officially call it quits and retire. What was your immediate reaction when you heard the news?
I'm not shocked at all, actually. I think we heard some of the rumblings, obviously, with all the stuff that went on during the offseason, then during the season. Pretty much, I kind of knew this was a possibility when he opened up to a collection of beat writers that he has known for a long time, such as Austin Ward, Doug Lamorese, Tim May, in Columbus, in a piece he did about a month ago, I believe. I'd have to double-check that. But he opened up about the cyst he has, which is a real thing, and I think that causes the headaches, and that is something that, you know, he can manage, but just, you know, at a certain point it causes stress. And I think it was time for him to step away and just go into retirement and relax. And I think this is the perfect time. And to be honest, I don't think Ohio State's going to drop off as much as people think for a number of reasons. But for one, I think Urban has left this program in a great place, which you cannot say about his time at Florida.
And I think Ryan Day is going to do a great job stepping in. Of course, we already saw a little sampling of what he is capable of doing as he served as the interim head coach.
Correct. And, E, if you look at Oklahoma, you saw the perfect type of transition from legendary coach to young offensive coordinator who's a brilliant play caller that is a great recruiter. It's almost like the, I mean, there's some differences, but the scenarios are very similar, and I think that's why Ohio State went this way, to keep their recruiting going. They have all their support recruiting staff still on staff. A lot of the same guys are still going to be there. So although Urban Meyer is gone, and, you know, you do have to temper expectations, I think this train's going to keep rolling, and I think this is the right time and the right move for Ohio State.
We've got a big hour one coming your way right here at SB Nation Radio. Come on back. Much more college football talk after this quick break.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, it's Friday night. Welcome back. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Hard to believe the bowl season, it is upon us, and the countdown is on for the college football playoff. We are so excited. The semifinals are set, and of course, in our next segment, as promised, we're going to break down what we can anticipate when the Sooners face the Crimson Tide and the Tigers square off against the Fighting Irish. So delighted to welcome back to our program our next guest, who had an amazing 10 years in the NFL. That is Jordan Black. He was drafted by the Kansas City Chiefs in 2003. He played for the Texans, the Jaguars, the Redskins, and he was a four-year starter for Notre Dame. Good evening, Jordan. It's good to have you back on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, listen, let's talk some college football, because what a remarkable season for Notre Dame. And I was checking back, you know, the last time we had you on the show, it was in September after they had that big win to kick off the season against Michigan. And I have to tell you, I mean, I wasn't that optimistic that they would be one of these Final Four teams that, you know, they're standing and have a hunt or a chance at a national championship. What were your expectations coming into the season?
Well, the quarterback position was a question mark, and I think they got that figured out for the most part. Ian Book has been really valuable for the team, and he's really sparked that offense. I still think there are a few issues that, you know, hopefully they can address over this, you know, holiday time where they're going to have a lot of practice. But, you know, it's college football. Anything can happen. You know, we almost saw Georgia knock off Alabama. So they are beatable. So, you know, anything can happen when it's game time.
Is this team better than the one that went to the national championship back in 2012 and finished with that 12-0 record?
I think they absolutely are. The problem is, I think Alabama now is better than Alabama in 2012, and I think Clemson now is better than Alabama in 2012.
Well, tell us this. You had just mentioned talking about, you know, this time before the big game, and they've got some time to address a few issues. What are some of those lingering issues, Jordan, that you think they've got to take care of and clean up?
Well, it's really interesting because it goes both ways. So, yeah, there are issues for Notre Dame, and I think with them on offense, it's consistency. You know, we see them against Syracuse score 35 points, and the defense plays outstanding, and I think they gave up maybe 3 points in that game. And then you'll go to the next game where, you know, they score 50, the other team scores 35. So when you look at a team like Alabama, consistently they're scoring 50 points a game. Doesn't matter who they play, Alabama is going to be Alabama. With Notre Dame, you don't necessarily know what you're going to get. They kind of play to their competition. I don't know why that is, but you know, hopefully they can establish some consistency on offense. Whereas, you know, you have a long time off between your last game when you're playing in a bowl game.
Right.
At the same time, you have to prevent getting rusty. I experienced that when I was in college. So it's a such a long time off, you can actually go from a powerhouse offense to one that's struggling. So you want to avoid that as well.
Former NFL player, four-year starter for the Fighting Irish, Jordan Black, back with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, giving us some insight on the big game against Clemson, talking about his Fighting Irish. You know, and it's interesting, as you talk about, you'd like to see them establish a little bit more consistency. What kind of improvement did you see as the season progressed and as it went along with Brian Kelly's team? Because you know what? I mean, Jordan, hey, it's been a long time since Notre Dame had an opportunity to get a shot at a title.
Yeah. So in most college offenses right now, there's so much pressure on the quarterback. A lot of teams want to spread the field. They want to throw the ball around. The problem is when you have your quarterback, all it takes is him to have an off night and your entire offense struggles.
Right.
When you look at a team like Georgia, for example, mm-hmm. I thought they had a great game plan against Alabama, but they presented Alabama with a balanced attack. They relied on their offensive line to run the ball. They have two backs, one that's a speedy guy that can run around the edge. The other, Holyfield, can run up the middle behind that offensive line. And you got a quarterback that can throw the ball. So whether you're playing Clemson, whether you're playing Alabama, you have to come at them from all angles, and you can't rely just on your quarterback. Put some pressure on that offensive line. Put some pressure on the backs. Attack them from all angles of the field and just be balanced going into the game.
Okay, Clemson, winners of four consecutive ACC championships. Jordan, I mean, what say you? You think Notre Dame, are they ready to face Clemson? Can they take care of business?
I certainly hope so. I think Clemson is incredibly talented. I think that quarterback that they have is something special, mm-hmm. and I think he'll be an NFL star one day. But, you know, they went to Clemson in 2016, I believe, and it was a really close game.
Right.
All they had to do was convert a two-point conversion there at the end of the game. They failed to do that, and, you know. But, you know, Notre Dame, when they show up, they can play with anybody. So which Notre Dame team is going to show up? Because I have a feeling Clemson knows what they're doing. They're going to show up. So we'll see if Notre Dame does.
Coach Brian Kelly, he certainly has. You know, you have to tip your hat to him. He really has, Jordan, done an amazing job of being named Coach of the Year. A lot of respect for what they've been able to accomplish. What stands out in your mind is with some of the decisions that he made under his leadership and how they were able to ultimately execute their game plan? Because it is more than just the quarterback, right, Jordan?
Certainly. And Coach, the toughest part about being a coach is keeping pressure on your players. So you have to come to work every day, and you have to be consistent in your demeanor and your approach to the game, and you have to be a person as a coach that the kids there can depend on. They know what to expect, and it takes a lot of discipline to do that. And I think Kelly really focused on that. He focused on expecting or raising the expectations for the kids there every day, day in, day out. And I think what we see is a team that has a lot more confidence. A team that will show up early, a team that wants to get points on the board. And for the most part this year, they've done a pretty good job of finishing games.
What have you seen from Clemson this year? You had mentioned them briefly, but Dabo Sweeney, he certainly, him too, you know, I mean, he's done a tremendous job building a consistent and an elite program.
Yeah, it's the same thing. I think Sweeney, you know, he's a coach that reminds me a lot of Pete Carroll.
Okay.
In the sense that I think the environment that he creates there at Clemson, he really turns a group of kids into a community. They have a it seems that they have a greater goal, which is winning a national championship, and they're united. And it just seems like everybody likes each other. So anytime you see a coach who's able to create that community feel in a team is one that you should definitely respect. And, you know, they're working together as a unit. And that's what I see with Clemson, and that's what I think is special about them.
Hey, just a few more minutes tonight. Jordan Black with us, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Many different ways to connect. You can join us at Twitter, at eRadio Sports, podcastarena.com, if you want to go back and listen to the entirety of this interview with Jordan. We want to get your perspective on, you know, did the committee get it right? You got Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, Oklahoma. Got to give some love for the Sooners. Do they deserve to be in this Final Four? What say you?
See, it's funny. It's funny that you said, "Do they deserve it?" naturally, we've got two schools of thought here.
Okay.
You've got the committee who is supposed to be charged with finding the four best teams, and then we hear their feedback, and they use words like "deserve" as well. So, you know, are the four best teams in there? The only two teams I can say that absolutely should be in there and are deserving to be in there, Clemson and Alabama. They passed the eye test.
Right.
Now, obviously, I support Notre Dame. I went there. I want them to win, and I think they can win it all. But beyond that, as far as the rest of them go, a lot of teams deserve to be in it, but at some point you've got to look at what they did on the field. And when you look at the resume, Notre Dame has to be in there. They're undefeated. Their schedule wasn't easy. And then after that, I think you could have gone with Ohio State, Oklahoma, or Georgia. So that's a toss-up, but that's the problem that we're always going to have when we decide things with a committee rather than decide things on the field.
Well, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch, especially you got my eye on the Sooners, how he's going to face that Alabama defense to see how he executes. Will certainly be interesting to watch. You think he's going to win the Heisman on Saturday?
You know, I think he might, especially after that game Tua had.
Yeah. It's amazing. They are rolling. The Sooners are. Of course, Jordan Black has been with us, SB Nation Radio, the next generation of sports radio. Thank you, Jordan, for carving out some time on this Friday. Thanks.
You're very welcome. Anytime.
Of course. Much more coming your way right here. The Big E Sports Show, SB Nation Radio. Come on back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, Friday night. Welcome back. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Before we get underway with our next segment right here, Hour 1, we love to hear from you. You guys chime in on the conversation. Join us at Twitter, at eRadio Sports. You can always email the show, info@eradiosports.com and podcastarena.com. Twice is always nice, and you're going to want to listen once again to our good friend James Hale from KREF 1400 Norman, Oklahoma. A lot going on for the Oklahoma Sooners these days. Good evening, James. Nice to have you back with us.
Well, it's always great to be with you. The only negative is that we're on radio and I can't see your pretty face. But outside of that, everything is great. So looking forward to college football playoff with the Sooners in the Final Four. And Kyler Murray might win the Heisman Trophy tomorrow. How about that?
It's incredible. I mean, this could be back-to-back years for the Sooners. And we're looking forward. One of the reasons we extended this invitation was to highlight one of these compelling matchups in the college football playoff, and that, of course, is Alabama and Oklahoma. But your thoughts on this Heisman race and how it's all come down. I mean, is Kyler going to edge out Tua?
Well, I think he is. Kyler has not had a bad football game this year. He's not played one bad game. And he's been involved in so many gut-crunching games that he's had to play at his highest level for Oklahoma to win and be in this position to be in the Final Four, that if you've just paid attention to his career this year or his year this year, then you would reward him with the Heisman Trophy, too. Tua is great. And I covered Tua in high school, and he's as good as everybody thought he was going to be. But as good as he's been, he's not had the year that Kyler's had. And when he had that hiccup in the SEC championship game, Kyler was excelling in the Big 12 championship game. And Kyler's just had one of those years for the ages. It's amazing to me that Oklahoma's had this kind of quarterback play over the last few years under Lincoln Riley. And it's been pretty amazing. We've been spoiled. The joke around here is, well, if Austin Kendall really pushed Kyler Murray in the preseason, what kind of quarterback is Austin Kendall going to be once he's named the starting quarterback? So, you know, it's kind of an interesting deal. And to be honest, I don't know if Austin Kendall will be the starting quarterback next year. He's going to have a ton of competition from Tanner Mordecai and Spencer Rattler, who's the number one high school quarterback in the country, coming to OU next year. So I think Kyler's deserving of the award. His running ability sets him apart from everybody else. And the fact that now he's running to score instead of running to slide only makes him more dangerous and gives Oklahoma a puncher's chance, certainly, when they take on Alabama in the Final Four.
James, you are the ultimate recruiting guru. Did you know that Kyler Murray, that he was this caliber of talent, that he was this special?
Yeah, coming out of high school, out of Allen High School, he was the number one quarterback in the country, run-pass quarterback, and many thought he was the number one player in the country. Watching him at Allen High School, you thought he was a man among boys. The only thing you've ever questioned about Kyler is his size. You know, he is what he is. He's 5'9 and a half, he's 5'10, he's 185 pounds, but he's got world-class speed. He's a 4.38 runner. He doesn't run track, so he's never matched up against other sprinters out there. But he's really confident when he runs, and all he knows is nobody's caught him when he's been running in open field on a football field. And, yeah, I thought he would be this good, and Oklahoma was in on the recruiting chase when he was coming out of Allen. He went to Texas A&M because his dad played there, and his dad is a great football player, baseball player too. So it wasn't surprising that he went to A&M. What was surprising is that Kevin Sumlin had two really good quarterbacks, and both didn't like their situation under Coach Sumlin, and they left. And that's bad news for Coach Sumlin. It was great news that Kyler Murray was back out there on the recruiting trail. And OU wanted a graduate transfer. They were down to just two quarterbacks, and, you know, guys were leaving the program because they couldn't start or play. And when they were able to get back in on him, Lincoln Riley said he knew who he really wanted and was able to get him. And it's been a positive thing ever since, even though for Kyler, I don't know if it's been a positive. Mm-hmm. You know, when Baker decided to come back for that extra year, that shocked everybody, and he had to wait another year. But he did his due diligence, and when he earned the starting job this year, he was definitely ready to play, E, and he's played in such a fashion. We haven't seen quarterback play like this, and, you know, last couple of years have been really magical.
How do you anticipate this is all going to play out in terms of when we talk about Kyler Murray? Could he rethink his decision and drop baseball for football? I mean, how risky of a move would that be?
Well, it would be real risky. It would be $4.6 million risky. I mean, this is why I don't think he's going to do that. And, you know, he's never given me the indication that anything's changed. He knew he'd have a one-time chance to play college football, and he's turned it into a magical year. So if he goes out and wins the Heisman, his team's in the Final Four, let's say they win a national title, why would he come back?
Mm-hmm.
He's accomplished everything that there is to come back. Let's say he wins the Heisman, but his team doesn't win the national championship. Well, I think he's going to look at it and say, I've given it the old college try, because you're never guaranteed you can win the national championship. And he's got $4.6 million reasons why that he's going to play baseball. If you talk to anybody involved with the baseball end of it, Billy Bean, his agent, you know, no matter who you talk to, they all indicate that nothing's changed. This is what he's going to do. He's going to play baseball after this year is over, and he's going to start his career. And, you know, think about it. If he's already been given a portion of that bonus money or whatever the arrangement is, he's already spent some of it, and he's already paid taxes on it, and it's just not something that I think deep down he believes is in his best interest. That's why he signed the baseball deal. He's always told me he thought that he was really good in football, he was really good in baseball, And for his professional career, it was better off if he played baseball. And so he's following through with his longtime plan. This is what he's always really planned to do. Now, the fact that he's so good in football, the fact now that the NFL is saying that he might be a first-round draft choice,
wow,
that, yeah, because of his skill set, he's good enough to play football, I don't think that's going to change his mind. You think about it this way. He'll know in 3 or 4 years if he can hit the curveball, hit the slider, if he can really hit.
Yep.
He'd still only be 25, 26 years old, and he's still a 4-4 runner. So he can give football a try if he wanted to at the end of 4 years and see what's up.
Host of Total Sports, 1400 KREF. Also, check him out, Patreon. That is our dear friend James Hale, who joins us tonight, SB Nation Radio, the Big East Sports Show. Looking forward to the big Heisman presentation on Saturday night. Of course, the college football playoffs. I got to ask you this, James, while you're on the show. What is it about head coach Lincoln Riley that brings the best out of his quarterbacks?
Well, he's an offensive savant, number one. And what I mean by that is, he understands all the idiosyncrasies that's there when it comes to quarterback play and offensive play. He understands how it all meshes together, how the quarterback can look at a defense and how what he sees can dictate what play or play they can check to and what they can do. He understands offense from the standpoint of how everything meshes from the offensive line to the tight end to the receivers to the running backs to the quarterback. And he's developed a concept in a screen in a scheme that takes advantages of that quarterback and what his abilities really are. And it's pretty amazing. Baker was different than Kyler, even though they're somewhat similar. Baker was a good runner. He's just not Kyler Murray type of runner. Kyler Murray's a good passer. He's just not quite Baker Mayfield throwing the ball. But he's close enough that you can run similar offenses. But there's enough of a difference in the two that you can add to the offense. You can do certain things for Kyler that you wouldn't do for Baker. Same thing for Baker that you wouldn't do for Kyler. But it all works out because Lincoln is such a savant at what he's doing, and he's always creating. He's always coming up with new plays, new ways to block, new ways for the quarterback to hit the angle, new ways for the quarterback to throw that out route, that he's just ahead of his time. That's why the NFL's calling him. That's why a lot of people feel like he's the best offensive mind in college football, and mm-hmm. I don't disagree. And he's fun to talk to. You know, when you get a chance, Ian, you get him on, you know, you'll find he won't give you the company secrets, but he'll titillate you enough that you'll be excited that you've talked to him because he'll give you enough you think you know more about football when you're done.
Can you give us a sense in terms of will he remain at OU? I mean, you were just talking about, you know, NFL teams. I mean, they've come calling.
He's never mentioned to me that he's ever dreamed about coaching in the NFL. Now, $10 million changes that, I guess.
Right.
Well, you know, I mean, Jerry Jones, he could back up the truck, right? I mean,
yeah, there
could,
you go.
I mean, I guess. You know, so... but he's never mentioned, he's always dreamed of this job, what he's got. He's always dreamed of being at an Oklahoma, at a Blue Blood, at one of the best programs in the country and being in charge of it. And this is what he's always dreamed. Heck, you know, I've even talked about him, you know, do you think you'll be there 20 years, 15 years? And he shakes his head. He's not even sure how long he wants to coach.
Wow.
But I can't see him doing anything else. You know, he wouldn't look good in a suit as a stockbroker or anything,
uh-huh.
So I don't know what else he would do. You know, this is what he's born to do, I think. But I think he's a college coach that the longer he goes, I think the NFL will intrigue him. I just don't think it's in year two as he continues to build what is already a great program, trying to make it better. I think he's so focused on that. I just don't think that any amount of money right now can get him to leave Oklahoma as good as he's got Oklahoma in a place right now. It's about as good as it gets, and I just don't think he would leave it.
Yeah. Hey, only got about 60 seconds. James Hale with us, SB Nation Radio, KREF, host of Total Sports. James, connect with our audience. Where can they check you out online and also subscribe to Patreon?
Yeah, Die Hard, Sooner Report, Patreon.com. Just become a patron, and I think you will enjoy it. Of course, you can always dial us up at sportstalk1400.com. And if you're in Norman, it's 99.3 FM, 1400 AM. Sports Talk, Total Sports. Have a good time.
Okay, give me a quick hit. Oklahoma, they're going to win against Alabama. Can they prevail?
Oklahoma will pull a major upset.
Whoa!
An underdog, the Sooners are going to win the game.
Oh, it's going to be a dandy. James, always a true pleasure to have you with us right here. Hour one, SB Nation Radio. Enjoy the Heisman presentation on Saturday night. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, E.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way right here at SB Nation Radio, the next generation of sports radio.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, Friday night, welcome back, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Before we get underway with our next segment, we, as always, got to thank the folks that power all of us right here at SB Nation, and that is O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think of them for all your car care needs. They are close, convenient, and known for their guaranteed everyday low price. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store today. O'Reilly's, better parts, better prices every day. Hard to believe the college football postseason, it is finally here. Matchups are set. We're looking so forward to the college football playoff, and we're going to break it all down in our next segment and get you ready for two compelling semifinal showdowns in the playoff era. Delighted to welcome back to the program. He is one of our absolute favorites from CBS Sports, their college football analyst, the very talented Brian Jones. Good evening, Brian.
Big E, what's happening?
Hey, it's good to have you on the program. We are certainly very anxious to get your thoughts and preview the college football playoffs, but let's just back up a moment and get your takeaways on that epic matchup between the Sooners and the Longhorns. Not so fast. You thought you were going to have bragging rights for 12 months. Sorry. OU was able to redeem themselves.
Do we have to back up and revisit that? I'd rather not. I was sitting there on set as we were getting ready to do our pregame show from the SEC championship game in Atlanta, and I've got one eye turned towards one of our monitors. We had three or four of them, and I made them put the game on as we were getting set, and everyone was concerned that I was going to be more focused on that than our pregame show. But I was able to be a professional and not be so obvious, turning at least one eye towards that monitor. But nothing to see, really, because my horns, as you said, were not able to lick your Sooners a second time. OU plays better defense. That first matchup versus Texas, I believe Texas ran for about 170-something on them, and in this one, less than 100. I don't even think they got 90 in the ball game. So OU was able to diminish the running game of Texas. They got the big turnover, interception, and then, of course, prior to that, they had the big safety. So defensively did what they needed to do. Anytime you're taking on OU, you got to be able to hold serve. Texas was not able to do that, and they had gobs of penalties. You're not going to win a cornhole match having 13 penalties.
Brian Jones, CBS Sports, with us tonight, SB Nation, and you nailed it. You just talked about the penalties that definitely hurt Texas and Oklahoma. Ultimately, they were able, Brian, to overcome a slow start and prevail. So what did we learn as far as just looking at Texas this year? I think they've improved. I mean, they are definitely, Brian, they're trending in the right direction. Are they back, though? That's the big storyline. That's the question mark that everybody wanted to know coming into the 2018 season.
Well, they're back to being relevant. In the Big 12, you're back to being relevant in your conference.
Okay.
I made the prediction at the beginning of the season that I thought they could win the Big 12. And so there they were fighting to win the Big 12. So you're back to relevance there. As far as on the national stage, I don't believe so. Still a ways to go. They've got to get bigger. They have to get faster. And they have to get tougher in between the trenches. They don't have any dudes on that defensive line. They got some pups on the offensive line. So got to start packing and some muscles on those guys. But they're trending in the right direction. That's the key. Going into this bowl game, the Sugar Bowl versus Georgia. This is going to be a great barometer to gauge where they are currently and where they're trying to get to. Because just seeing Georgia up close over the last decade, seeing Alabama up close over the last decade, these SEC teams, they're just cooking at a different speed, different temperature than what I'm witnessing with my Longhorns. So they're heading right on the right track, but still a ways to go.
Got to ask you your belief in head coach Tom Herman after year two. I mean, what do you appreciate about him the most as your head coach, and how far has Texas come with under his leadership?
Well, the progress you can see. It's something that we witness live and in color.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is they have some stability on that staff. You know, these guys, the senior class, when they've gone through so much, whether it's attrition on the field and movement amongst the coaching staff, and finally they had the same voice in their ear hole for two years straight, whether it was a change at the head coach position or change change at the position, as a position coach or a coordinator, what have you. They finally found some stability there, and that's going to serve them well. So I think Coach Herman, his philosophy, the way he wants to do things is starting to take hold there, and they just got to get these pups to grow into canines, and we'll be cooking with gas. So I know it's heading in the right direction. You know, there's some things here and there you need to tweak, and, you know, some conversation about clock management in last week's game and some other little deals here, especially the discipline with the penalties. You can't have that. You're not going to win many ball games if you're stubbing your own toe like that. So you look at the best, and you look at Alabama and Georgia in that SEC championship game. Both came into the ball game averaging about 4 to 5 penalties a game, and that's where you want to be in that number. You can't defeat yourself.
You know, Brian, it seems as we look at Texas, I mean, there's been some acceleration that has taken place as far as the progress over this past year, 2 years under his leadership. Do you like the level of intensity, the effort, the physicality that you're seeing?
I like the effort. I like the way these young pups have come in and just have taken their playing time. They demanded via their play that you put them on the field. Now, some things that leave me scratching my head go back to last Saturday, and that D lineman couldn't get off a damn block.
Okay,
I mean, they were playing peekaboo, with the offensive lineman. You're supposed to strike those guys and have at least one or two moves that you can employ to get off a block. You know, the better part of getting off a block is predicated on how you take on a block. Mm-hmm. And I just saw nothing in that space. And they got to coach them up better up front. And we've got to go and recruit some dudes and some guys with that fire in their belly that and then also have a ton of athleticism. So that's the key. But, you know, like I said, they've had good recruiting classes. And the cupboard wasn't empty when he got there. So he had some clay he could mold. And now this would be his third year. And I would love to see some significant gains, especially in the trenches.
CBS Sports, Brian Jones with us tonight. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Many different ways to connect with us. Join us at Twitter at eRadio Sports. And Brian, reach out and connect with our audience. Where can they check you out on CBS?
Well, this weekend, we got Army-Navy.
Okay, nice.
So that's the big one, and that one's always pretty dang cool, and it should be on everyone's bucket list. If you haven't got a chance to see that in person, you need to check it out, because we'll have them. We'll have the Heisman guys on set with us at halftime as well, so that's always cool. I think we're looking at a back-to-back years with a Sooner winning.
Woo!
That as well. Man, y'all are killing me.
We're in fuego, baby.
Yeah,
on fire. So talk to me about, I mean, you think Kyler, so you think he's going to win on Saturday night?
He's had such an impressive year, accounting for 51 total touchdowns, only 7 interceptions. This guy has been superb. I just recall coming in the season, a lot of us talking heads were wondering what type of offense, what type of tweaks that Lincoln Riley would have to make to the offense. He didn't change anything as far as I can see. And I think Kyler Murray brought some different wrinkles to the offense because he's much faster, much more slipperier than his predecessor, Baker Mayfield. So he's one heck of an athlete. He's been well heralded, you know, ever since his Pop Warner days. I heard guys talking about him up there in the Metroplex of Dallas.
Did you? Okay.
And now we've gotten a chance to see him, and the nation has gotten a chance to witness all his talents. He's just a phenomenal athlete, and I just think Tua came back to the pack a few weeks back, and Haskins as well as Kyler Murray took well advantage of.
Should Kyler reconsider and make his living in the NFL?
Well, he has another year of eligibility at the collegiate level.
He's not coming back.
I know, but who am I to tell him to forego those millions he's already put in the bank from his baseball contract? No, go and play baseball. If it doesn't work out, it's possible you could always fall back on football. So he's got a lot of options, and that's all you want in this world of ours is your health and some options, and he's got them.
CBS Sports, Brian Jones with us tonight, SB Nation Radio. Let's transition here. Talk to me about Oklahoma. You were just mentioning you talked about Georgia. Did Oklahoma deserve to be in the college football playoff? They did not dominate against Texas, but ultimately, Brian, I mean, they did find a way to win, and they took care of business. Hey, they held them to 27 points, right?
I don't care if you win 1-0. Get a W. And okay, they went out and got the W. And yes, they deserve to be in it. And I've been saying that since the week leading up to the conference championship games, that if Oklahoma won, they would be in by virtue they're ahead Ohio State currently. And they also are taking on an opponent that was ranked ahead of the opponent Ohio State was taken on.
Right.
Ohio State had a very impressive win versus Michigan, but equally less impressive loss to Purdue. So I thought the committee got it right. I've heard some of these so-called experts say they got political by keeping Georgia out. I don't know how that's political. You got a two-loss team,
right,
a team that didn't win a conference championship. And I know at times the committee doesn't care about conference championship. And I heard someone say that this is the most political they've ever been. Well, tell that to TCU and Baylor,
okay,
the first year of this playoff system, where they were hosed, sitting there with one loss, and it was each, and it was because their names were TCU and Baylor. Had it been Texas or Oklahoma, there's no way that committee would have done that to one of the big brands. So to say Georgia was hosed with two losses, and then the one loss earlier this year to LSU, they were trounced. So I think that's really hyperbole at the highest level to say the committee got political and not to acknowledge that they did that in the first year of their inception.
Hey, getting ready to wrap up our time. Brian Jones from CBS Sports, so kind to join us tonight at SB Nation Radio. My final question for you is, you know, talking about Oklahoma's defense, they allowed 27 against Texas, but just overall, why has the Sooners defense been so bad in 2018? You're a former NFL player. You played at Texas. I mean, why has it been so bad?
I don't think they have those dudes. Although I went back and looked at their recruits over the last 3 or 4 years, mm-hmm, and they've got some pretty good recruits. And it's about developing them and coaching them up. I don't ever recall seeing an Oklahoma defense play this poorly, and they've done this 2 years in a row, because there's no way they should have lost that game to Georgia last year, being up as much as they were in that one. You may want to fault the offense for maybe getting conservative there in the second half,
right,
during certain instances, but I just recall Oklahoma always having stout defenses and transferring a lot of guys up to the next level, the NFL. So without being there in those meetings on that practice field, it's hard to pinpoint, but looking from my 30,000 foot perspective, they just don't play with anything. They're similar to the Texas defense. They don't play with any technique a lot of time, and sometimes you just see guys just not being fundamentally sound. That's a big part of it. And when I watch teams like Alabama, and I'm watching these guys, take for instance this Quinnen Williams.
Okay.
This young man has gone from an unknown on the defensive line coming in this season to possibly a number one draft pick. And you watch the technique with which he and all his brethren play with on that defense. Not only are they big and fast and athletic, but they're smart players. Their technique is sound. And when you go up against guys who are just as athletic, what's going to separate you from them? And it's got to be your technique, your fundamentals. You got to take care of the little things, the details. Those are what, you know that.
Oh, yeah.
Being a big time hooper,
woo!
You got the fundamentals, man. That's what makes that little separation that could keep you from being a first rounder or make you a first rounder. So that's something they need to work on and need to get some more dudes up there like my Longhorns do. So that's what stands out. And, you know, certain guys that just sometimes didn't even look like they wanted to hit anyone. So you got to have some heart. You can't be on that defense side of the ball and not have any heart.
You got to be fundamentally sound. You got to sweat the small stuff. And I tell you, Brian, it'll be very interesting to see what happens in the offseason for Oklahoma. Is Lincoln going to be back, and all the different movement that perhaps might take place? Of course, Brian Jones, CBS Sports, hanging out with the Big E on this Friday night. Always a true pleasure. Enjoy the games this weekend, and we'll talk again real soon, my friend. Thank you.
All right, Big E, appreciate you.
Absolutely. Blessings. Much more coming your way right here at the Next Generation of Sports Radio. That is SB Nation Radio.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, Hey, welcome back. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, Friday night. Many different ways to connect with us. You can join us at Twitter, at E Radio Sports. And as always, we got to take time to thank the folks that power all of us at SB Nation, and that is O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think of them for all your car care needs. They're close, convenient, and known for their guaranteed everyday low price. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store today. O'Reilly's, better parts, better prices every day. Well, as we get ready to close out hour one, man, we have been jam-packed. Lots of college football conversation. Delighted to have back with us, hanging out with the Big E in studio. And that is my dear friend, Shay Raftus, the executive producer of the Big E Sports Show. Shay, I know we started off the show tonight talking about your Ohio State Buckeyes. Your thoughts on how should Urban Meyer be remembered now that he has officially made the decision that he's going to step away from the game?
There's some positives and negatives. I think mostly positives. You know, there was all the stuff that happened in Florida and the Zach Smith stuff. If you do want to look at the negatives, and you can't ignore that. But overall, he won 3 national championships, and we know the conference titles and the success he had at Bowling Green, Utah, Florida, and Ohio State. But I think more importantly, I think what he'll be most remembered for, besides all the accomplishments, is the way he modernized recruiting in the SEC and in the Big Ten. And he changed the landscape of that forever. And you see that with support staff that it's still going to be there with guys like Mark Pantone, the director of recruiting for Ohio State, and the importance he put on recruiting. I think it modernized, like I said, not just what he did at Florida to get that going, but in the Big Ten as well. I think He forced the Big Ten coaches to step their recruiting game up, and you've seen the influx of much better coaches over the last 5 or 6 years in the Big Ten, and that's because of Urban Meyer, and I think he's changed the landscape of recruiting not only in the Big Ten but nationally, and I think that's the biggest stamp he will have on his college football legacy.
Well, his resume, his body of work says it all. I mean, winning 3 national championships, pretty big shoes to fill for Ryan Day. Can he do it?
I think he's going to do a good job because, A, he's a great recruiter. He's already hit the ground running. We've seen that, like I said, the Lincoln Riley comparison is perfect. And B, he's really modernized the Ohio State offense and brought the modern passing attack. Sharp guy ahead of the curve, learned under Chip Kelly, learned under Urban Meyer, has coached in the pros as well. I think they're going to be just fine.
Hey, Hour 2 coming your way. Thank you so much, Shay. Hour 2 coming your way right here at SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show. The college football conversation continues after this quick break.